the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Let's have some fun on a Thursday. I mean that question as genuinely as possible. 888-957-9570. What happened? Like, I think there are a bunch. You came up with five different answers.
And I think all five are probably.
They're all good answers.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
accurate.
If I were with you on Family Feud, I'd be like, good answer.
Good answer. Good answer. Yeah.
Ding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And first and foremost, Steph, good little player. And I don't care how old he is, he is still really, really, really good. And you watch the game, and it's like, you know, Steph just kind of slowly works his way in the game. And then there's that 3 or 4 minute period where it's like, you know, three threes and an and one and a drive and the rest of it. It's like he goes from, oh, Steph Curry's got 4 points. He's got 18. And you went and, like, try to get some milk for your daughter, or you cook something, and you turn around and he's got 18. It's like, wait, what? How did that happen?
Curry Flurry.
Dude, explosive still.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think that this question sort of, it lands in terms of what kind of sex appeal do you want to use with your answer? Because most of us, when we watch basketball, we look at the offensive end. And we go box score diving and all of those things. And Kuminga played well, and then Wiggins played well, or they didn't play well, or this, that, or the other. But there's one thing that the box score never tells you, and as you always point out, it is literally the marker for whether or not you're actually a contender in the NBA, and it is your team defense. And the Warriors are number two this year so far in team defense, and I care less about that when they're going against the Portland Blazers or a Pelicans team missing half their players. I care a lot more about it when you're on the road in Boston. I know Jaylen Brown was out, but forget that part. That doesn't really resonate in terms of whether or not last night's a difficult game. Those are the champs. They're in their building, they're playing well, and they score the ball really well, and the Warriors' defense is fantastic. It is absolutely fantastic. And you can take your over-under 43.5 wins, and you can turn it into toilet paper. That, if they play defense like that, this is a 50-win basketball team.
Well, and they're 7-1, so for that to come to pass, that would mean that they would only win 36 more games to be under, and there are 74 more, so that'd be 36-38 for the Warriors the rest of the way for that to go under. So, man, if you bet the over, you're feeling pretty, pretty good about a team who's given up just 105 points a game against Boston, who is averaging 122, Mark. 122 a game, and a team that went 37-4 last year at home, and you went in there, and it looked like in the fourth quarter it was starting to get away from you, and okay, they played well, and okay, Boston's, you know, probably going to go ahead and win this and close it out, but then in the blink of an eye, the D showed up again, the offense converted, that game flipped in a heartbeat, and you won it. You stole one.
They can do it a number of different ways, whether it's with the three ball, now having, again, somebody who can attack the rim like Andrew Wiggins. You had two huge cleanup buckets by Kevon Looney last night. He does look like he's sort of in different shape on that end of the ball right now. But I tell you what, man, it's exhilarating. It is so much fun to watch the Warriors when they play like this. And so there's a bunch of different answers, but that's what we would love to throw out to you right out of the gate. 888-957-9570. In your eyes, what happened? What has happened that has suddenly transformed the Golden State Warriors? They lose Klay Thompson and bring in some new pieces, but none of them are earth shatterers. What has happened that suddenly has the Warriors looking like they're as good as any team the NBA has to offer?
It's a lot of things collectively. And, you know, we talked about this at the start of the year. Like, what would it take for the Warriors to be a top four seed, or what would it take for them to be contenders? And health, of course, is always number one. And we'll put that aside because you never know. But Steph still being good, Draymond being the Draymond that you all and we all want, which is aggressive but under control. And the big one for me is Andrew Wiggins. Can Andrew Wiggins be two-way Wiggs again and be consistent? And so far, through the eight games, and he's played in, I think, six of them so far this year, he's been two-way Wiggs. He's been determined on offense. He's been solid on defense. And if he's that guy, he, for me, is the key to everything.
I'm with you, and I think that, like, this is the way I look at it. If you want to figure out why the Warriors are, and this is all we'll say at this point, they're better than we thought.
Right.
They're better than we thought. I don't know, is this contender? It's too early for any of that crap. But they're better than we thought. So go through the roster and tell me who is performing better than you thought they would. Steph, he's doing exactly what I thought he would.
Exactly.
Pajemski, he's doing exactly what I thought he would. Moses Moody, he's doing exactly what I thought he would. GP2 is just healthy. He is the same guy he always has been when he's healthy. So you could look at it that way. Kyle Anderson comes in, slow-mo, whatever. He's got an awkward game. He's doing what I thought that he would do. De'Anthony Melton hasn't even played yet. There are three guys, essentially. There are three guys who are playing basketball. And you're even, it, by the way, I should throw this in, even Jonathan Kuminga, I think for the most part, is doing kind of what you would hope that he would do. He's doing it on both ends of the floor, so that's good.
Right.
But there's three guys who are playing ball where you're like, oh, and it is Draymond Green,
yep,
because he looks at peace. It is Andrew Wiggins, because he looks at peace.
Yeah.
And it's Buddy Hield.
Dude, Buddy Hield.
And it's Buddy Hield because he also, I wouldn't phrase it as he looks like he's at peace. He looks like he's found his home.
Right. He's found his system. And he's in a spot where he can go out there and just be Buddy. And you saw it last night where he hit the big three, which turned out to be the night-night moment. And Steph is right there. And Steph just screaming. And he gives him five. And then he gives him 10, 15, and 20. And they couldn't stop high-fiving each other because that moment, Steph knew that that was, and I won't say that he's a Splash Brother because there will never be another Splash Brother, but Buddy Hield is doing a lot of the things that Clay used to do, which is need a three, Steph is being doubled or he's being harassed, give it to Buddy, boom, three. And I think they went up seven at that point or six or seven, and it was like, okay, game over.
Yep.
And Buddy did that, and he knew it.
Buddy did that, and
Buddy
it was
did that.
Center of the cup.
Totally.
By the way, I need something new at my place to yell when Buddy hits a bucket like that. Lovely Christie is not a fan of me yelling Buddy buckets.
No.
I don't know why.
Okay.
I don't know why. It sounds annoying to her. But I thought of this because of the Splash Brother thing. Like some people want to call it, remember the Splash Buddies? And I went on a whole rant where I'm like, can we just not with the whole like the Splash Brothers thing?
And let's Jordan keep it was a Splash Cousin.
Well, and I
it's
didn't,
like, okay.
Right? And I didn't love, I don't know how many of you even saw this. I didn't love, as a Warrior fan, I'm not criticizing, but it just didn't feel wonderful to go on Klay Thompson's Instagram last week. He's got a picture of Luka, and he wrote, my new Splash Brother. No. The Splash Brothers is over.
You don't get that in the divorce. Like, Splash stays here. And, you know, you guys got divorced, and it's cool. And, you know, Steph and the Warriors, we get to keep that. You don't get to be like, I'm the Splash Brother, and I bring that with me. No, you can have your boat. Fine. You can keep your house in Tiburon.
Like,
love it.
I think the Splash Brothers is still Steph and Clay. They just don't play on the same team anymore.
Right.
Something we'll look back on. They are the Splash Brothers.
Yes, and much like my two sons, who are brothers, they don't live in the same county. They live in, like, 300 miles apart. They're still brothers.
Deadly
brothers.
What has changed the Warriors? 888-957-9570. We'd love to take your calls. Vince in Austin. Hey, Vince, thanks for calling.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How are you doing today?
Great, man. What's up?
I think the Warriors played a wonderful game last night. Even Everyone stepped up on the defensive side of the ball. Gary Payton. I mean, these guys are playing old school Oakland street ball defense, which, you know, they're not out there hitting anybody, but they're playing really aggressive, and every man is picking up his objective. The other note I have is the Warriors this year have two solid big men. They have the young Trace coming up,
yep.
And then, of course, Looney making that cornerstone. You know, having two reliable big men, two guys who know how to play within the system and play responsible, that's going to really help them out this year. Yeah, I just wanted to get your guys' take. I love the show, and I hope you guys have a wonderful day.
Vince, thanks. Appreciate
thanks, Vince.
It, man. Yeah, I mean, the take is that, A, those players were both there last year, but maybe to further the point I was just making, each of them has little tweaks. I don't think they're as different as, say, Wiggins is from what he was last year,
yeah.
Or what Buddy Hield was because he didn't play here. They're both on the team, but Trayce Jackson-Davis was a rookie, and so he's a little wide-eyed at times, and he didn't even really get into the rotation in the lineup until the second half of the season. And whatever Kevon Looney was dealing with last year, it didn't look right. He physically didn't look right. He didn't look like he fit the team the way that he did, especially going back to the playoffs in the championship run when he was an absolute rebounding machine. And he looks more comfortable. He looks like he really focused on his body in the offseason, and he looks like his old self, cleaning glass down below and making big plays at big times.
And I do think a lot of it stems from the fact that none of these guys are playing more than 20 minutes or 25 minutes. So when you're out there, if you're Kevon, or if you are Kyle Anderson, or if you're TJD, you know that you get 5 or 6 minutes, and you go out there and you play as hard as you can, and then you're coming out no matter what. So you don't have to save anything. It's max effort. When you play 12 guys and you're on the floor, it's max effort because you know you're coming out no matter what, unless you're Steph or maybe Draymond, maybe not even Draymond, but everybody is playing hard and coming out. So, yeah, Kevon can go out there for 6 minutes and just ball.
888-957-9570. What has changed the Warriors in your mind? We'll take your calls. Grant Cosell is in 45 minutes. Jay Billis is on the show, and a strong chance GP2 calls us in just about a half hour. But it's you coming up next. In honor of Klay Thompson returning to Chase Center on Tuesday, we're giving away tickets to the game on Monday. Klay Warriors jersey on Tuesday, and the Klay Carnival. The Carnival at Thrive City is coming on Tuesday. We'll be broadcasting live out on the plaza before the game against the Mavs. So stay locked in for all the details. And to find out how you can win, we're also sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. Your call's next on Willard and Dibbs.
Ted to shoot. Curry with a dribble drive. Hook pass from the corner. Draymond there. The three is going to be way short. Grabbed by Looney. Hook back. Good! Looney grabbed the air ball out of the air and scored it. 106-102. How about that play by Kevon Looney? Curry with a minute 25 to go. Takes it right. Pump fake. Shots up. No good. Rebound Buddy Hield. Left wing. Back to Curry. Curry dribble drive all the way in. No good. Rebound Looney, and he's right there again. Johnny on the spot. Kevon Looney. It's 108-104 Warriors.
Dub Nation, it's Kevon Looney. You're listening to Willer and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Not Johnny on the spot, this Kevonny on the spot.
I love it.
Woo! And I let out, ooh, I belted one out last night. Hey, when Buddy hit that three, you want to know what my daughter said to me? We're sitting there finishing up dinner.
Yeah.
Buddy hit that three, and I let one out. She looks at me and she goes, I think that's the happiest I've seen you in a month. I don't know that that's true, but that's what it looked like to them.
Yeah.
The Buddy Hield three. I was like, woo-hoo! I gave out a, damn it, Niners, you're 4-4. Damn it, Farhan. That Buddy three. I'm like, we got something.
Oh, yeah.
You remember yesterday I said, if they win this one, I'm going to come in.
Rubbing your hands.
And say, we got something.
And I told you yesterday, if they win it, I was not going to come in and overreact. And then on the show thread last night, after they won, I said, forget what I said. I'm overreacting. we gonna be championship. And I was caught up in the moment and the emotion because that was a game that, yeah, they should have, they, not that they should have won, they could have won, but it looked like in the fourth quarter, Boston, the home team, the defending champs, had exerted their will, and it looked like, okay, Boston's probably going to win this. They had the upper hand with about 7 minutes to go, and usually when you're trailing and you're chasing it, it's hard to come back, but man, those plays that Lucas came back with, the Kevon Looney airball catch, and then the scoop and score, that speaks to exactly what this team is. And you mentioned it before, strength in numbers. This really is a strength in numbers kind of vibe.
Right, and so I think what it's not for today, it's not for this month, and it's not for next month, but the big question, and we'll deal with this a little bit later, but the big question for the Warriors is strength in numbers is fun. Right now it's effective. I think it's infectious to the fan base. Does it win titles? Does it win titles? And that's the question I would predict the Warriors are going to face down the road, because it's like super fun. You're like, yay, everybody plays and they look like they want to have a barbecue together and they win games. Sure. Wonderful. Does it win in June?
Right, right.
Does it get to June when the other team has Durant and Booker
and Beal?
Beal. Or does it win when the other team has Luka and Kyrie and Klay? Or does it win when the other team has Shea and Chet, et cetera, et cetera? I don't know. And it's a question that doesn't need to be answered yet, which is the best part.
Which I do think is the question as we get into in close to February. And I mentioned this on our show thread. Like, what if they're still really good and we get past the Super Bowl, we get close to the trade deadline or end of January, and they're like the two or the three seed? Do you break it up in chase of the one big boy? Or do you think, you know what, this has been good for 50-plus games. Do we ride it out? That, as you mentioned, is not a question for today, but for today, you look at that win last night, and I'm just looking at the game log right now, and you had a Derek White three ball to put them up seven with 6:46 to go, and you think, okay, they're down seven, and not that they're going to lose, but it felt like the, quote, better team had taken control, and then that's going to go ahead and be that.
Totally. That was the moment where you're like, all right, good effort.
Good effort. It's what you wanted, really.
Yes. Good effort.
It's what your bottom baseline was. Like, just compete.
Compete. But
you
then,
wanted them to win, but you didn't want them to lose by 40.
But then the home team kind of found their flow, and they got the crowd behind them, and they started hitting threes, and they were owning the second half. And you're like, all right, I get it. Let's see how they finish. Can they put up a fight down the stretch? They didn't just put up a fight down the stretch. They dominated the last 4 minutes of that basketball game.
Well, Steph gets fouled on a three. They challenge. Sorry, no. And he hits all three. Holiday makes a layup to make it a four-point game again, and then Curry answers with a three. Now it's a one-point game, and now it's a little bit of pucker factor. Yeah. A little bit of pucker up in Boston.
Dude, that was really fun.
Really fun.
That was really fun last night.
And I was trying to feed my daughter salmon, so we're alternating between airplane and helicopter.
Oh.
Just to trying to get her.
What's the difference between airplane and helicopter when you're feeding a 2-year-old?
Airplane is meow, meow, meow. And helicopter is chuck, 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 chuck. It's all about the angle.
It appears your helicopter is coming from a higher angle as well.
Right, the helicopter comes from above.
It comes down,
chop,
although
chop.
I would argue it actually flies lower than most planes.
It does, but the whole idea of it like being able to fly vertically as opposed to horizontally.
Yeah.
So I will ask her, what do you want? And she'll say, helicopter. All right, you're getting a helicopter. So as I'm bringing the chopper down, I'm looking over my shoulder at the TV, and it's Curry!
A helicopter with salmon in it.
Chop, 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 chop.
That's just weird. Well, it's just weird. I've never been on a helicopter. I know you have many times.
Oh, yeah, for
a
whole
year. I've heard that if you have a weak stomach, it doesn't go well. And so, therefore, the idea that there would be salmon on there sounds even worse.
Depends on how seasoned you are. And the first time I was in a helicopter, I had to reach for the bag that they have. It was a major bag alert.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we were over an accident in Petaluma, and we were hovering for an hour, and I said, this is going to be an L for your boy.
Okay.
So you go quickly and quietly in the bag, and you take a nap, and then two flights later, I was good.
You're good to go. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, so What has happened? What has changed the Warriors?
What the hell's going on? Hey,
what the hell's going on? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Han in Belmont. Hey, Han, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, boys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Huge fans of the show. You guys are amazing.
Thanks, man.
Wanted to talk about what's changed, man. To me, it comes down to two things, distractions and expectations. What I mean by that is, like, distractions, we can name them all day long for the past couple years, man. The Draymond pool punch, the Clay contract drama, even the Kerr contract conversation, Bob leaving. There's all kinds of distractions. This year, nothing. Everything's settled. Contracts are in. I mean, you got Buddy through, what, 2026? So it just feels like it's settled a little bit, and they can just focus on playing ball. The other one, like I said, is expectations. I love being underestimated, and I feel like Curry does too. He talks about it all the time. You know, back in 2022, what was the percentage win chance for the Warriors? Like 6%, something like that. Bring that energy all day long.
I think, Han, thank you. I think especially your first point is just a phenomenal one. And he compares it to the distractions the Warriors have been facing in the past, but I'll give you an even more current example. Let's talk about the 49ers. How are they doing this year so far in 2024 with distractions?
They're below expectations,
right?
And the distractions have been pronounced from Trent to Brandon to
Christian McCaffrey's injury.
Yeah, to the hat selection of your edge rusher.
Yeah, we got hat selections. I mean, there's a lot of crap going on, and I give credit to the people who would call back in August and just be like, "This doesn't feel right. This just doesn't feel good." And here you go. You underperform. And when the opposite is true, where people are coming to work and they're just like, man, I can't even find something to worry about right now, you overperform. I think that's very fair in looking at the Warriors right now. That is what it feels like.
Right. And the expectations, I think, are not that lofty. And also the pressure of, think about it in terms of Draymond and Steph, like the pressure they feel. They would love to win a fifth championship. But if they don't, they're both going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
And, you know, Wiggins has one, and Kuminga's got one, and Moody's got one, and Kevon's got a handful, and Steve is a made man, and all the rest of it. So the pressure is not like the Niners have, which is championship or bust, Super Bowl or bust. For the Warriors, the expectation is get back to the playoffs and go on a run. And so having that bar be a little bit lower does make you play a little bit more freely, right?
No doubt. No doubt. And he also brings up, like, I don't know how many people have taken a moment to look at this, because, you know, when you're keeping flexibility and bringing in new players, sometimes there's the thought that everybody's on a short-term deal. Do you know off the top of your head Buddy Hield's contract?
It's, I think, 3 years at a very flat number. Like, it's peanuts.
It is NBA peanuts.
We're talking about peanuts.
He is in year
Sean
two.
Brown.
Year two of a 4-year deal that will pay him just under $38 million. So total.
Not a year?
Steph is over there making 60. Buddy makes 9. And yes, they have him for at least 2 more seasons after this. And he's making 8.7 this year. It balloons up to 9.2 next year. And then in 2026-27, it's 9.6. You're going to have Buddy Hield for this and 2 more seasons. And in none of them does he even make $10 million. In the NBA, that is an unbelievable contract.
Right. He's making about a third of what Clay is making. And he's making about a fifth of what Clay made last year. And he's not doing exactly what Clay did. But so far, through 8 games, he kind of is.
He's kind of doing more.
Right. He's,
I'm sorry to say that.
No,
like,
I mean, through 8
small
games.
Small sample, yes.
Forget the Clay, the history of Clay.
No, right.
From last year, Clay, you're right.
Yeah, like the productivity on both ends of the ball through 8 games has been better. That's not even arguable
right
now.
He's been one of the most productive players in the league.
Totally.
So that's fair to say.
How about Mike in Santa Clara? Hey, Mike, thank you for calling. And again, we're asking, what has changed the Warriors? 888-957-9570. Hi, Mike.
What's up, guys? Good to talk to you again. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Just wanted to say, you know, the optimism on my side is just, especially after watching last night's game and everything, just how we can compete. And the competition itself, especially with the defense, you know, look, I see it the reason I'm optimistic is from the top to the bottom, all the way up from Lacob to Dunleavy to the coaches, especially bringing on Jerry Stackhouse and everything, also from Steve Kerr, and then back down to the players. Everyone is on the same page in this case, and they love it. And the fact that we also really destroyed that trade, I mean, Kyle Anderson, Buddy Hield, and who knew that Buddy Hield was going to play out lights out like this at this point in time, along with Kyle Anderson still being a productive player. I mean, you guys tell me if I'm wrong. I think it's like $9 million or something like that between the two or something, like, you know, per year.
No, Buddy,
I want to say
Buddy's making almost $9 million himself. Kyle Anderson is also, like, I think what you're saying, it's not total, that's for each of them. They're both making $8.7 million this year each.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah, that's where I got it wrong. Yeah. But still, those are mediocre contracts at that point right now.
They're like, small, I mean, contracts.
That's unheard of.
Yeah, totally. They're below the mid-level.
It's totally unheard of. And the fact that we still get these guys underneath for like another 2 years plus at this point, I mean, everyone is just, the chemistry alone is great. And I do see this being a very, what's the word I'm looking for? A very scary team to look at now. And we do have the players that can get it done. Now, can we just finish it up at this point? You know, at this point, and that's where I am really looking forward to. I'm excited to see what happens for the rest of the season. Yes, it's only been about 9 games or so, but we have to also still see what happens. And we're going to still have those. We're still going to have those games. We're going to have those streaks where we do have a losing streak. Okay, what team doesn't? Whether it's in baseball, football, basketball, hockey, it doesn't matter. We're going to have those, but as long as we still keep the composure and still actually have what we have and do what we need to do, I still see this team making a run or in the deep end for the playoffs, guys.
Mike,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. I mean, again, I'm trying to keep my mind on now and not playoffs and contention and all that, because, A, I don't even know what the roster is going to look like by then, and, B, that's just too far away. But if you stay in the moment, you have to see what is total overachievement. And, yes, I think the core point of what Mike is saying is, my God, Mike Dunleavy has crushed the start of his general manager tenure with this team.
I'm just looking at the six-team trade, and I was thinking in my own mind, like, how would you grade the trade of these six teams? Because the Mavericks got Clay in a second,
yep,
and the T-Wolves got a second. They got a second-round swap in 2031, and they got cash.
Okay.
The Warriors got Slo-Mo and Buddy Hield. The Nuggets got cash. The Hornets got Josh Green, who's been good, and Reggie Jackson, who I believe they immediately cut, and they got a couple of seconds, one in 29, one in 30, and the Sixers got a second-round pick in 2031. So you have one, two, three teams that basically got picks or cash. The Mavericks got Clay, and the Warriors got two rotational pieces. My God, how, and I would love to hear from Mike Dunleavy, like, how does this work when you do a six-team trade? And I would love to hear from him, like, you know, is it a six-way Zoom? Is it six different phone calls? How do you put together the biggest trade in terms of teams in the history of the association, and you win the trade? You got two guys in your checks, notes, 13-man rotation. You got two veterans, one of whom is an automatic bucket. Like, my God, Mike,
yeah,
how?
I mean, and you called them rotational players, and you're not wrong. I could also mention that Buddy Hield is averaging 0.1 points per game less than Steph Curry so far this year.
Right.
And he's doing it in fewer minutes. I know Steph has had fewer games. Buddy Hield is averaging over 21 points per game so far this year. So, yes, rotational piece. You could also call him key piece. But I'm with you. I don't even know how the hell... How do you even do a six-team trade? How do you even get that started? Who do you call? How does that come together? The creativity to come out of Klay Thompson being upset and wanting to leave, and to figure out, how to make that work all the while you're still thinking about Paul George and Lauri Markkanen. And then don't forget what he had done in his first draft as well. In his first draft. This is all after he's drafted Brandon Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis. That's after that. And then this year on draft day, he's pulling out Lindy Waters. And you're like, what? Who's that? And now look at what we've seen from him, which is somebody who can be a rotational player. Mike Dunleavy, I know you don't like A-pluses, but so far in his GM tenure, A-plus, unbelievable work.
Well, just this trade. And forget
just that,
like,
alone.
That alone, but the fact that you were able to get something for Klay Thompson, because that didn't have to happen, much like, you know, previously with D'Angelo Durant, Russell and Kevin Durant. Yep. Like, you don't have to have these sign and trade. So part of this is relationships with players where, you know, you go to Klay and you say, you know, Klay, where do you want to go? And he says, well, Dallas is one of them. Okay, let's work on it. So you call Dallas and they say, yeah, we want Klay, and here's what we're willing to offer. Well, that doesn't work for us, so hold on. Let me call Minnesota. And you talk to Minnesota, and you go, hey, man, Kyle Anderson? We'd love to have him. Hold on. Let me give Denver a call. And can we get Charlotte involved? And what about Philadelphia? And so you call all these teams, and all this stuff starts flying around, and at the end of it, is he on a whiteboard?
Yeah.
Is he on his laptop? But at the end of it, he's like, hold on, guys. Are we all in agreement? All six of us? Okay, the deal's done. Send it to the league. And the league office is like, wait, what the hell? Are you guys kidding me?
No, we're not.
Six teams and six picks and five players
amazing.
And cash.
And look at it now.
And look at it now.
Look at the payoff.
Right.
By the way, the Golden State Warriors have arrived at their hotel in Cleveland, and GP2 will join us in 10 minutes. That is confirmed. So GP2 is going to call into the show in 10 minutes. Greg Cosell dunks on Dibs at 3:15. Jay Billis later on, 4:15. Outside of those slots and those conversations, it's all you. What has changed the Dubs? 888-957-9570. We go to Lance in Guerneville. Hey, Lance, how's the Russian River today? What's going on?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. It's always great in the Russian River area.
You're damn right.
Hey, so the things that I think have changed, there is a cultural cancer with the organization that was eradicated from last year in particular heading into this season. I believe that as a result of that, the group that they assembled came together in a pretty significant way during the trip to Hawaii preseason. Stackhouse is a difference maker with this group, for sure. As I understand it, he's done some things that are pretty unique and innovative to get everybody to buy in to the way that they're playing defensively right now, and I believe he absolutely deserves some credit for that thus far. And the last thing is, there were games last year where they were up by 20 and lost a bunch of them. And this year they've been in that same spot and have been in a position where they've been ahead in games and then found a way to win. And they're learning how to win again with the group that they have. So those are my observations. And I'm happy to share any thoughts with you guys that you want about what I think the cancer was before.
Well, I think we probably get it. Lance, thanks very much. I love your point that you made there at the end. I know a lot of people who follow the NBA who are like, one of the biggest things for teams is finishing. And they mean that in all kinds of ways. Finishing quarters, finishing games, finishing road trips, finishing seasons, just finishing. Because as we always know, just look at what Houston did last Saturday night. Someone's going to make a run at you. And so what do you do in those situations? How do you finish? I think what we've seen from the Warriors this year can only be described as incredibly encouraging with how they handle things down the stretch of a close game when possessions get slow and tense.
Yeah, and part of that is, you know, having Steph, but now you have Buddy as well who can get a bucket, and then Kevon Looney with a great offensive rebound and a finish, and Draymond Green with a couple of late free throws, and so you feel like you've got enough pieces, and this is where Steve Kerr is going to be tasked to figure out who's playing well and who could be a part of that finishing lineup, and it's going to be different every night, and last night was a great example of Steve Kerr. hitting the right buttons, and Kevon Looney, somebody who played really well, and they needed him in the third quarter to kind of stem the tide and get some rebounds, and he did, and so he became a part of the finishing lineup.
Now, the other part of his call, talking about, you know, things that are cancerous in the locker room, I wonder. Look, Klay Thompson's going to be here on Tuesday, and I wonder if there's a way to have this conversation without it sounding like Klay is catching strays and taking shots here. Because I actually think that this is all really healthy. It's all really healthy. So I won't call Klay Thompson a cancer, but situationally the last 2 years, and everyone focuses on Draymond and Jordan from the year before, but from everything I've heard, that was Klay too. That was absolutely Klay too then. And it definitely was Klay last year. And it's not to say that what was bothering him wasn't understandable or whatever, from his body to contracts to just whatever. It was time for him to go somewhere else. And he did. And that has made both him better. And yes, don't be afraid to say it. It has made the Warriors better.
Yes, it has. And I hate that word when it comes to sports because that word, it doesn't fit.
Right.
And he wasn't that. And having been in a relationship for 22 years, when it was me, it was her, it was both of us, when we both left, we both were better, and that's okay.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Your calls are still welcome. However, we go live to Cleveland coming up next. GP2 from the team hotel will join us on Willard and Dip.